Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Friday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Alive, the message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word to Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. Now, if you have any prayer requests, I pray with you. If you have any question about the lesson, I do my best in the Lord Jesus to answer for you. If you have any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you're calling to get information on how to get a copy of the messages that the Lord been sending through his angel messenger, I will get that to you as well. For those of you that don't like or feel comfortable asking questions, making prayer requests over the air, contact me at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com, and I will get that to you as well. Amen. So, without further ado, we're going to go into the Word of God today. And for those of you that's listening, hey, why don't you pray with me? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are coming together again today to give you glory and honor and praise and to go into the Word of God this day that you would teach us in Jesus' name. Father, we ask, Lord God, that you will bless us with the presence of your Spirit and let your Spirit release to us the understanding we stand in need today. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, and glorify you because, Lord, you're worthy to be praised and to be lifted up. And we magnify you, dear Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ. So, Lord God, we will give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. Today we are on part four, of the Falling Away Church, the Lifestyle. I want to open up with two opening scriptures. The first opening scripture coming from the word of the Lord, Jesus Christ, that he's been sending through his angel messenger. In one of the messages called the 54th message, I'm going to read the sixth verse. And like I said, for those of you who want to know how to go about getting a copy of the messages, once again, just contact me at the information I provided at the beginning of this broadcast. Now, this message was sent out March the 9th, 1942. And one of the things that Christ has said in this message was, as he gave authorization to his angel to tell us that this work shall continue on, for love is the message I bring. The Church of Christ shall never again be destroyed. The evil shall not prevail against her, but she shall be adorned with a crown of 12 bright stars and garments of righteousness. Amen. Now, I want to read another opening scripture from the Bible. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Amen. And I'm going to read verse 25. To verse 27. That's Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to verse 27. Amen. And the word of God says, husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, those two opening scriptures, couple things that it tells us that, number one, we understand from the Lord that his kingdom, and we want to understand which location he's talking about, that his kingdom should never again be destroyed, which indicates to us that at one point it was destroyed. Now, he's not talking about the third heaven and where he's at, but he's talking about his kingdom that he set up here on earth at one point was destroyed, was overthrown. And our second opening scripture shows us that Jesus, this is what he wants, a glorious church, that is without wrinkle, spot, or blemish. Now, we've been overall looking at one of the points we've been looking at to come to understand that, you know, some, and we know many sinners have this question, but now it's building up even among some Christians that if we as Christians are all serving the same God, then why are we so separated and divided? Why are we divided in such boundaries and denominational boundaries and all that? Well, once again, for us to understand this, we got to go back to the early church and see what happened to the early church. Because what we must understand is the way we see Christianity set up today, Christ did not set up Christianity this way. You may say to yourself, well, Brother Nate, if you're saying that, then if Christ didn't set up Christianity the way we see it today, then how did it come about? Once again, you have to go back to what happened with the early church. And the early church, as I read to you one of the verses from the Word of the Lord, that the early church was once destroyed. The earthly organization here on this earth was overthrown, was destroyed. And coming out, and because of the result of the early church leading into other things, we see what we see today among Christianity. Now, what we've been looking at is one of the things that contribute to the destruction of the early church or the destruction of the kingdom that Christ once set up. And see, when we study this, we will kind of understand why the Lord Jesus said that there has to be a restitution and restoration of all things. And one of the things that's included in that is his kingdom, along with dealing with his church. Because I know that some Christians, you know, ain't quite getting that when you hear others say, hey, the kingdom here on earth got to be restored. The church Christ set up got to be restored. Some of you thinking that, well, the church is all right. Church is waiting on a rapture. But that's not so, people. The church is not all right. His body is not all right. His body is broken up in fragments. Now, in looking at that, we were looking at one of the things that contribute to the early church being destroyed or overthrown, and one of the things that contribute to it that we're looking at is evil practices or the lifestyle. And what we mean by that is that the Bible tells us in Romans 6 that we were raised to walk in a newness of life. We were to supposed to be, and I'm talking, we're not saying we now. Let me get this straight with you guys. I'm talking about Christians. That we is not applying to everybody, but it's applying to Christians. And so Christians, we're supposed to be walking the new life, the newness of life, the life that Christ provided for us to walk therein once we got saved. Amen. Well, the church did not keep to that, more or less among the unfaithful, did not keep to walking in the newness of life. She began to walk in ways that was where she walked in before she got saved, filling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, okay? And what we have been doing, like on part three, and I think part of part two, but I know part three, what we've been looking at is what specific things was the church doing in its walk that was contrary to the walk that Christ had for her to walk. And so we have been looking, and so we're going to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, because that's where we last left off at. And Paul to the Corinthians, the people of God, the Corinthian church in Corinth, he began to name some specific things. And in naming these specific things, one of the things he says that the people had not repented of it. Okay? And what we're seeing happening in the church today is what was going on with the early church. And we see that people in the church are committing these acts and living this way and is not repenting. You know, once upon a time, people was kind of, quote, conscious of stuff that they did. Sometimes they were just quick to say, I'm sorry, and have some remorse. But now we look at in the churches that people are living in sin and committing these sinful acts and have no remorse. No remorse. Now, the last thing we left off at, we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we had been looking at verse 20 and 21, where Paul names some things that was going on among the people of God in Corinth. And Paul said they had not repented, okay, of these things. And we had looked at defined, amen, we had looked at what Paul calls debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, and now we're going to come to one he mentioned called tumults. Tumults. Now, in looking up the word tumults, what was these tumults that Paul was talking about that was going on among the people in the church? Well, we're going to define it and look at it in two places, from the concordance, and we're going to look at it from the dictionary, that we may get a full understanding of what tumults are. Now, according to the Strong Concordance, the original word that was there and translated over to tumults, the original Greek word for that means instability, that is disorder, commotion, or confusion. So there were disorder, commotion, and confusion going on among the people in the church, because the place that they live at, Corinth, which was a very sinful place, well, that kind of spirit crept into the church. So in the church, people start, there was a lot of disorder, commotion, and confusion. Remember, if some of you had read it, remember in 1 Corinthians, I think that was 1 Corinthians 14 chapter, where Paul had to talk to the Corinthians about prophesying and speaking in tongues, and how that he had to give, that there was a specific order that needed to be to that, because the way he talked, they must was getting all out the way with what they was doing. And so there was a lot of disorder and commotion and confusion among the people. And we're talking about in the church now, okay? We're talking about in the church. Amen. According to Webster, the word tumult means a disorderly agitation, or milling about of a crowd, usually with uproar and confusion of voices, commotion, okay? So there was disorder, disorderly agitations, and milling about of a crowd. So that means that you had people in the church that was getting together, you know, and they was getting out of order, okay? Amen. They was getting out of order. And they was operating in a uproar with what Webster defines as confusion of voice. Well, how many of you have seen that in the churches today? What is going on? It's going on in the churches, people.
You got a whole lot of commotion going on. You got these groups and cliques in the church that get together, okay, and rise up in commotion even against the leadership. Amen. Oh, yeah, but listen, we might well be real about it. We have cliques and groups in the church, okay? And you have people, there are some people in the church that love to start confusion, okay? Just love to start confusion in the church. Amen. Hallelujah. So this tumult, this uprising of contention, uproar of a crowd of people, this is what was going on. And this is what's happening today, okay? You can go into many churches and sense the division. You can sense who is with who and who is with what. You can sense it. And see, this was going on in the church. Now, the next thing he named was uncleanness, okay? And the original Greek word for the word uncleanness, it means impurity, physically or morally, okay? Physically or morally, impurity. Webster defines the word unclean. Let me give you a definition from Webster. Unclean means morally or spiritually impure. Okay? Morally or spiritually impure. Now, I want to specifically, I'm going to come back to this place in a minute. I want to specifically show you guys something about the uncleanness and what he especially is talking to here. Now, in showing this, I've noticed today that, and we're going to go to Romans chapter 1. I noticed today among Christians, now I'm being very specific when I say this, because we got to understand what was going on in the days of the early church. Guess what is going on today? And this is one of the things that contribute to the destruction of the early church. Okay? Amen. Now, Romans chapter 1, and I'm going to read verse 24 to verse 27 to understand at least one of these things that the uncleanness is talking about, is dealing with. It said, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. So we see this uncleanness has to deal with something with your body, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. Now, so what do we see here that uncleanness is definitely dealing with? Well, it's dealing with homosexuality and lesbianism. Oh, my goodness, Brother Nate, did you say? Yes, I did. And this thing troubles me in my spirit about some Christian today. I'm starting to see more Christians more and more scared to speak up on this. Amen. The Bible tells us plainly. I don't know how much more plainly he could get on this. From the old to the new, God hadn't changed on it. God has always forbidden homosexual and lesbian relationships. He has forbidden that. And you got people, quote, in the church. See, this is one of the things that was going on in the early church. Once again, it's happening today. And you can see it. Homosexuality and lesbianism is practiced in the churches today. And you hear some of these church leaders with these sorry speeches trying to push the people toward accepting homosexuality and lesbianism. And they don't really want to talk truth, because here we read in Romans 1, we read it in the Old Testament. What is it, Leviticus or Deuteronomy, that God spoke against such a thing. And how much plainer do you need? But now we have people in the church who is overlooking what God has to say on this matter. And now they're calling themselves gay Christians. Well, you don't see nothing about a gay Christian in the scripture that God says you call your great gay Christian. No, none of that. But because the church has been hiding her head in the sand, the devil and these homosexuals and lesbians are starting to get more and more brave. Amen. Amen. And so this uncleanness to deal with homosexuality. And people, this is why the Lord is raising up a people who ain't going to be scared to tell it. You see more and more people changing. For example, the world, for example. I knew that when I was growing up, and one of the music I used to listen to was rap. And I remember in 1986, and I think that's 86, when gangster rap first came out, I used to listen to some of these gangster rappers who spoke like they were so hardcore against homosexuality, hardcore. But now some of these so-called same hardcore, supposed to be strong and stronger than steel type of rappers is giving in to this stuff, and some of them are committing the acts. Amen. So when you look at the people in the church, in the early church, they had that stuff going on, and it's going on today. And now some Christians are even scared to mention this. And, you know, it just amazes me because, you know, you're kind of almost blown away when you look at how some Christians just even talk on the subject. They walk very lightly, okay? You know, they walk like I'm trying to watch every word I say kind of walk, okay? Well, people, that uncleanness is not of God. That homosexuality and lesbianism is not of God. Amen? But this was going on in the church, and it's going on in the church today. Amen. And some of these big-time, well-known folks in the church today, it's going to be more of them that's going to come out. Watch. You're going to start seeing really what kind of spirit they operate in. Well, you can say amen to old me. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, looking back at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, after uncleanness, she mentions fornication, which we have already defined, fornication, amen, from when we did it earlier, hallelujah, and this was being committed in the church. People was committing unlawful sex. Sound familiar? Oh, could it be this happening in the church today? It sure is. And as I told you before, many in the church, and especially church leaders, they have gotten to a point like they have accepted this. Like this thing is the norm, okay? See, the standard of the Lord Jesus Christ has literally been pushed out the door. Literally been pushed out the door. Glory to God. And God is raising up a people, amen, that's going to raise his standard up. And then after the fornication, he mentions lasciviousness, okay? Lasciviousness. Now, I want to once again define this lascivious to you from the from the concordance and from the dictionary. Now, from the Bible concordance or from the concordance, this word lasciviousness means licentiousness or continent. Now, you say, okay, Brother Nate, you gotta go deeper with it. Well, to better understand it more, let's define it from the dictionary. Okay, first, lasciviousness itself. I'm looking up the word lasciviousness to see what Webster has to tell us the word lasciviousness, what it means to get a understanding. Okay. Lasciviousness. And, okay, now, the word lasciviousness means lewd or lustful. Lewd or lustful. Now, to break that down, we have to define the word licentiousness. So to look up that word licentiousness, because we're trying to get an overall view of what he's talking about here, this lasciviousness, okay? And so looking up the word licentiousness, and it is defined as lacking legal or moral restraints, especially disregarding sexual restraints, marked by disregard for strict rules of correction. So lasciviousness is a lack of sexual restraint, especially with people doing stuff in public. Okay? Very lewd, very lustful. That's what it is. Very lustful, full of lust. Okay? Just, you know, doing it, and let's be honest with you, doing it just about anywhere. And they don't restrain themselves sexually, okay? Amen. I mean, you have people doing certain gestures with their body parts in the public, okay? Nasty gestures. And you got some people I've seen. Now I have to be honest with you. At one time I saw it more commonly with men, with many men doing it. But I have to say, in this time, it's kind of surprising that, you know, now I see more women start to have this lack of sexual restraint, okay, and making these sexual gestures. But once again, it's a lack of sexual restraint, you know, doing stuff publicly, amen? And you got people so caught up in that they would even get nude in the public, okay? Well, see, this was going on in the early church. And you know what is happening today? Amen. You got some people, I got to say this. Some of you get mad, I love you anyhow, but you got some people, they are so lustful that the way they dress when they come to church is exposing themselves, okay? They're exposing themselves. Now, hopefully one day, Lord say the same, I'm going to do a series on that. I did one on Blog Talk Radio. Amen. On God's Word to Man on Blog Talk Radio. And, hey, I know it's not a popular series, but we got to be honest about it. And see, now, and people, listen, let's be real. I noticed, and I want to talk about, I'm talking about among the believers. And I've seen, quote, so-called Christian believers who are taking photo shoots with clothes that they're wearing that is very inappropriate. Like with many of the women, They're wearing low-cut stuff, showing their breasts, okay? And I've seen now where more men, quote, who's supposed to be in the gospel, is coming among the rise where that they're wearing these shirts unbuttoned, showing their chest. Well, amen, amen, and amen. That's the truth. Stuff is going on in the church, people. Now, I'm not talking about these other religions. I'm talking about here in the church. See, what you're seeing now is what happened in the early church. This is how the people live it, okay? We talking about church, but we talking about some of the same people who talking about I believe in Jesus. And some of the same ones that tell you, I'm saved. They're living a life of lack of sexual restraint. Someone would do whatever, anything in the public. I want to go to the book of Galatians chapter 5, and we're still looking at some of the things that was done in the early church. Now we're going to see in Paul and his writing to the Christians at Galatia. And he named some acts, some of them that we already defined, but he named some acts in Galatians chapter 5. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. And I want to start off reading, if I could, in verse 15, and then we'll go on down. Okay. Verse 15, Galatians chapter 5. Now look what Paul tells the Christian at Galatia. So I told you, see, the way that they started living was not the way that God set up for them to live. And this way he said, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. See, there was some backbiting and stuff going on. Among the Christians, okay? He said, this I say then, walk in the spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, I've already talked to you about that in the early church, they went away from walking in the spirit. They started fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And this is what we're looking at now, defining the specifics of things that was being done. These are the wrinkle spot and blemishes that is in his body today, in Jesus' body today. So why is it that we're preaching to people about a rapture and talking about God can come and get us any day in the condition we in? Please. We got so many wrinkles, spots, and blemishes. My God, I mean, we just look awful. People, that wrinkle, spot, and blemish got to be removed first before we even talking about being some snatch up in the air. No, we're not going, listen, Christianity ain't going in this condition that we in now. You can counsel that. Now, verse 17 said, for the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Okay? So, the other thing we can see from what we just read here was that in the early church, they was not allowing their spirit with the Holy Spirit to lead. They was going by their flesh. And see, the flesh operates in the sin nature, and your spirit man is born again and will have the nature of God putting in it. Okay? As well as, you know, the Holy Ghost. So it operates on the nature contrary to the nature of the flesh. Verse 18, he said, but if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. So if you be led of the Spirit, okay? Now, he said, now the works of the flesh are manifest. Now he said, now I'm going to get into tell you what the work of the flesh is. Now, as he got into telling that, he's letting you see this is what happened with the early church. These are some of the works that was going on in dealing with how they was living. These are some of the acts that they were committing. People, I pray that you would look at this list and read this list and study this list, because there are some people in committing these acts thinking that there's nothing wrong with it, like God accepts it. So in verse 19, he starts to name them. He said, now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. The first one he named was adultery. Well, we already talked about that adultery, you know, being unlawful sex between people who are not married to each other, or unlawful sex between a married person and another person with them that is not their spouse. Well, like we said once before, that's going on big time in the churches. It's adultery all over the place. And people are being put in positions, even though they are adulterers and adulterers, okay? They're being put in position. And I'm here to tell you, if just in case if you wonder if God is okay with that, if he would, he would not have Paul list this stuff for you, for me, for all believers. So adultery is mentioned as one of the works of the flesh, not the work of the spirit. See, Paul, in teaching them, notice in his fifth chapter, he began to teach them, to show them that there's a difference between the working of the spirit and the working of the flesh, okay? Just like today, you find some people, they're doing some adulterous stuff, and then they turn around and say, well, you know, the Lord had me doing this. Amen. They tell you in a minute, so the Lord had me doing that. So you mean to tell me the Lord had you doing something that is really adultery? Well, yeah, because he knew, no, the Lord did not have you doing that. The next one he mentioned was fornication. We discussed about that. Unlawful sex between two people that's not married. We got that going on in church. See, listen, in the church now, this is another thing I'm starting to hear more of. Do you understand that marriage is being frowned upon now? Amen. And once again, I got to say this, and men, I'm not trying to bash you, but back in the days, if you had to pick out of the man or the woman, which one was down talking marriage the quickest and didn't want to do it, most of the time it was the man. Now you got women on the rise. Man, you bring them about marrying them or marriage to them, they, I don't want to feel tied down. Now they sound like a man. And so now in the churches, you have churches full of boyfriend and girlfriend, not husband and wife. You get what I'm saying? And so fornication is going on for days and days. And the pastors know it. The deacons know it. Some of them is doing it. And so we know Susie is doing it, and her boyfriend is sitting in there in the church and on the front pew, and we decide we're going to make Susie lead choir director. And we're going to let her boyfriend give a sermon. Well, people, let's be honest. You know this stuff is going on. Once again, it was going on in the early church, and it's going on today. And I'm simply telling you that God is not pleased with it. Amen? He's not pleased with it, people. Amen. Now, the next one she named was uncleanness and lasciviousness. Now, we just defined that a minute ago, okay? See, that was going on in the church. Homosexuality, lesbianism. Look today, people. Church is becoming full of them also. And when they operate, when the homosexuals and lesbians, especially the homosexuals operating that kind of spirit, you notice they got to get up and they got to show themselves. That's why some of them love to be choir directors, lead the choir. Why? Because they got to get up there and show their, quote, feminine self. Yeah, in the church. And then sitting up there talking about, you know, the Lord maybe, see, people didn't catch this, but this is where the Pope exposed himself. Remember when he told that man back here, what, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, when that man, it was a man raped by a Chilean priest, one of those priests. He got raped by him, and the Pope visited him. And the Pope told him, said, God made you that way. He loved you that way, and he made you that way. Yeah, that's what the Pope told. Even the news folks, when they were reporting it, looked kind of shocked. But the Pope exposed himself, people. And some people still missed it. And now you're seeing messages going out today telling the churches to accept a homosexual. Now, understand this. If a homosexual want to come and get saved and get his life to Christ and be delivered from homosexuality, I'm all for it. But just as talking about accept homosexuality, people, that's a no-no with me, and that's a no-no with many others too. But now in the church of the day, listen to the message. Listen to some, the message of these some of these so-called big-time leaders, okay? Now their message is telling people to accept homosexuality. You know, like I said, what was that, a couple of weeks ago, that they had on the news that some 70 churches, I think they left the Methodist church, or left a particular Methodist church or Methodist organization because they hadn't totally, quote, accepted homosexuality. People, listen. When you stand against this thing, you're going to have some people that's going to leave you. See, the church has gotten caught up with the world. And so what the world accepts, the church talking about, well, we better accept it too. And see, that's what happened with the early church, and that's what happened with the latter church today. Whatever the world said is okay, ain't nothing wrong with it, God's fine with it. The church, the Christians, many of the Christians who's supposed to be Christ's people, is saying, well, okay, you know, we don't want to offend y'all, so we'll just go ahead and accept it. No way. No way, people. No way. No way at all. Amen. Lasciviousness. We just talked about that. Lack of sexual restraint. What's going on in the church? You know, people are even having sexual relations in the church building. Okay? I remember a guy told me some years ago, and he was going around in different churches, and then with what you call these spiritualist churches, I see a lot of these churches was having homosexual in, and they were just doing all kinds of homosexual acts. So you got many today in the church today, in the church building, is showing lack of restraint in there. Amen. Well, you can say amen, old me. Some of y'all might, nah, that ain't happen. Okay. You keep on thinking that. Don't worry. Hold on. You get to see. You get to see. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to take about probably one or two more, and then I'm going to close it off and get ready for part five tomorrow, Lord say the same. Now, the next one he mentions is idolatry. Idolatry. Now, according to the concordance, the original Greek word for that that was translated idolatry is image worship. And there was a lot of idolatry in the church. And it's going on today. Some of God's people image worship their homes, their cars. I mean, before they come to service and honor God, they'd rather wash their car on Sunday. Amen. Some of them are worshiping people. You know, one of the words that's been thrown around, and I got to admit, before I got saved, as I was getting older, I'm, you know, started kind of wondering about this phrase where people say, well, you know, so-and-so is my idol. And see, we got idol worshiping going on in the church, but people are worshiping other people. You know, in the gospel music world, if you were to really look at it, I mean, really, really look at it, it's like a Christian Hollywood. You get what I'm saying? And I've heard some of the gospel artists even use words like my fans. And I was like, my fans? my fans. And you can see that we all need to treat one another with respect, but you can see how some of the well-known, popular gospel artist singers are treated. They're treated like they're God. Amen. They're treated like they're God. Amen. There was image worshiping in the church. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. I am going to stop it there today, and Lord say the same, come back with part five tomorrow. Look for the advertisement then. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, for this day that you made and created. And we thank you, Lord, for everyone that was listening under the sound of my voice. And Father, I pray that you will bless them, you will keep them, you will strengthen them in Jesus' name for your glory. And so, Father, we magnify you, we praise you, because you're worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory be to God. I thank God for all of you that was listening to the broadcast today. Don't forget, Lord, say the same tomorrow. Come back with part five of this. And tomorrow night, we'll have Brother Eddie Lee, the full gospel message with Brother Eddie Lee. Look for the advertisement then. So, once again, thank God for all you've been listening. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Elias, a message on the broadcast, Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.